Steve Kyler with us from one of our favorite basketball sites, Basketball Insiders. All right, Kyler, we always talk NBA with you. How much do you NBA types and do NBA scouts begin to watch college basketball now that the tournament's going on?
Well, a lot. I'll tell you one of the things that I do, and we've talked about it for the last couple of years on the show, is, you know, the draft is kind of a big part of my world personally. And, you know, I don't get overly excited about regular season games. You know, some of the conference, you know, interconference games I pay attention to. I really start to care around the conference tournament. And I think the March tournament, certainly March Madness, you really get to see guys play against comparable talent and comparable coaches. You see how guys handle the moment. So to me, I put a lot more stock in kind of what I see in the conference tournaments and in the March Madness tournament than I do in regular season game number 12. Because I think the talent level is more comparable. And while NBA teams do spend a lot of time scouting players all year long, not only just in college, but in some of the all-star games and skills camps and things that guys do in the off season, you know, a lot of executives, meaning the guy making the decision, really don't see as many of the guys as maybe they might like to think, or at least have people think they see. There is kind of a we'll start watching when the games matter kind of vibe, and especially when you think about, you know, the Larry Birds and the Phil Jacksons of the world that aren't, you know, kind of those gym rat personalities that are going to travel all around the country to watch college basketball. You know, the tournament is a chance for teams, especially at the very high level, to really see these kids and see them play in very competitive settings. So there is some real value to this, and everybody does start to pay attention. It's funny, you go to NBA games now, and there are no executives to be found anywhere. All of them are in a gym somewhere watching part of the tournament.
Frank Kaminsky, Frank the Tank's getting a lot of love. Jahlil Okafor, who the Utes will see coming up on Friday, is getting a lot of love. Is there a can't-miss prospect still playing in the tournament right now?
Jahlil Okafor, for sure. You know, he was kind of the darling of the bunch coming into this season. And, you know, I've seen a lot of him over the last couple of years in some of the high school tournaments that I cover. And, you know, you could just see that he was a very special talent. And this year, even just kind of starting the very beginning, he's changed his body. He's dropped a lot of weight. He's getting much more comfortable kind of playing against more elite-level talent. And you can just see it in the tournament that he's just such a gifted scorer offensively. I don't think he's ever going to blow anybody away as a defensive player. And I think that's where Karl Anthony Towns certainly gets a lot more respect, because I think he's a better two-way prospect in terms of just his value on the defensive side. But what Jahlil can do and the way players play with him and how good of a teammate and one of those guys is just a facilitator in a lot of the things he does. You know, he's got a lot of teams that are very interested. And, you know, I think it was a little disappointing to see D'Angelo Russell go down, because I do think he'll be the first guard taken. You know, he was a really special player and all season long for Ohio State. Not so great in the tournament. But again, I think that's where the value of the tournament becomes really interesting in evaluating talent, because in the big moment, you know, D'Lo didn't really get it done. And I think that's where guys, you know, I'm a big fan of D'Lone Wright. I think he's got a real future in the NBA. And the longer he plays, the better his stock's going
to
get.
Well, I got to see D'Angelo Russell up close because I was in Portland over the weekend, and he was terrific on Thursday. He had 28.
He's such a special player.
I'll tell you what, he faced an
error. His ability to pass, he's amazing.
He really is. I'd seen him play a couple of times on TV, but he is so good when you watch him in person, and he's not just a scorer. He can pass and rebound. However, he got locked up with an Arizona team that plays great team defense, and that kind of shut him down. As far as what Utah's going to see on Friday, you mentioned Okafor. He's a top three pick. Justice Winslow, by most people's account, is a lottery pick. Quinn Cook's a senior. I think he's going to be an NBA player, maybe a rotation guy, but he can shoot it pretty well. Would you agree with that? Is Tyus Jones going to be a guy that gets drafted this year too, do you think?
I think Tyus Jones certainly is a guy that's on a lot of NBA radar. I don't think he had a great season this year, so he's one of those guys that's kind of in the next tier when you talk about, you know, the 20 to 35 range. But again, the longer he plays, the more he can show that he's got some tremendous upside. He's a young kid, as you mentioned. You know, certainly when you look at the fact that so much of what Duke does flows through Jahlil and flows through Justice, you know, those two guys really are taking a lot of the shots and really carrying a lot of the offense. You know, for Tyus, I think he's really done a very good job considering, you know, kind of as a young guy getting thrown into that and making it all work so quickly. So there's a real opportunity there for him. Quinn, I think, is one of those guys that's probably, you know, you can almost stay in school too long. When you start talking about seniors, is that who you are? Is there any upside left? You know, is there another gear to your game? And we see it every year that seniors really get dinged in the draft process, probably unfairly. And I think it's just because so many people want to bet on the young kid that's never done anything and hope that he turns into a superstar rather than take somebody who can help you right away. And I think with Quinn, you know, he may be at that point where, you know, there just isn't enough potential left to get him kind of in that first round discussion. But we'll see. There's been some really interesting guard play. Jelani Grant from Notre Dame, I think, is a really interesting NBA prospect. I think there's just a lot there. When you start getting outside those top three or four names, there are about 10 or 12 guys that could really go in almost any order this year.
Steve, does a loaded team like Kentucky, does it help those prospects that are all looking to either jump to the one and done or to move on from now? Does it help them being on a loaded team that's perceived to be such a system and such a sort of collaborative effort? Or does it hurt their draft prospects when they're not the guy like maybe Jahlil Okafor is at Duke?
Well, in certain regards, yes, and in some regards, no. And I'll use Karl Anthony Towns as a perfect example, is if you kind of are just really looking at, you know, how many touches, how many offensive touches has he had this year, it's almost half as many as Jahlil Okafor. So it's a much smaller sample size, and you are basing more of your decision-making process on the fact that you've seen half the body of work of maybe another player. But the other part of it is, I do think it helps the Kentucky players, one, in the system that Coach Cal runs, but the other part of it, too, is almost anyone on that roster outside of Karl Anthony Towns is going to go to a team that has other guys. And when you prove it that you can play with other elite-level talent, that you can fit into the system, and in many cases with Kentucky, if you're fitting into the system, you know, right out of the gate, it's not like you had a couple of years to get to know each other, and showing your versatility, showing that you can sacrifice a little bit of your game, you know, in favor of maybe some higher profile guys, you know, that is attractive to NBA teams, because, you know, a lot of guys that are going to get drafted 15, 16, 17, you know, those guys are going to be eighth men, ninth men, may not play a lot in their rookie year. And when you see that they can handle it and they still play in the moment and they bring it, you know, as being part of the second unit, then you know that there's value there. And then you can start to say, well, look, we can park him on the bench for a year or two, and then he'll groom into who we want him to be. There's a lot more trust in that relationship because you can see it play out on the team.
Our friend Steve Kyler from Basketball Insiders talking college/pro basketball this afternoon. One more kind of Utah draft-type question. Jakob Poeltl got onto everybody's radar screen early in the season. Then he kind of faded a little bit, but he's kind of elevated his game back the last couple of weeks. What's the buzz right now in the league and among some folks in the draft circles about Utah's big Austrian freshman?
You know, it's an interesting dynamic for him. I don't know if he's a guy that gets hotter coming back. I don't know that he's ready to play in the NBA, but I do know you can't teach big, and he's big. And in moments, he can play nice around the rim, and there's some things that he can do in the screen and roll game that you like. You know, my advice always is, I don't think that you're going to be able to start in the NBA. Go back to school and see if you can become a better player. But I'm not sure that that happens, especially, you know, when you kind of look at what's around him. You know, maybe he evolves, but this is kind of a case of, this might be as hot as his name gets. You know, I think Poeltl gets drafted. I think he's probably a player that's going to get drafted in the first round. And, you know, I always kind of contradict myself this way and say that, you know, if an NBA team is going to pay you a couple of million dollars to come practice and learn the game, that there's a lot more surety to that than staying college basketball, where you might get injured or you might not progress and your stock goes the other way.
Can DeLon Wright play his stock up or down significantly in a Sweet 16 game against Duke?
I think he can, but, you know, the one thing that I've been told about draft stock as it pertains to the tournament, and I always giggle at this, it's pretty hard to hurt your stock in the draft, unless you just absolutely crater and embarrass yourself, which almost no one does. for the most part, scouts will go, that was just this matchup or that situation. But there is a sense that, you know, the longer that you're playing on the big stage, there are more chances for you to showcase the nuances of your game. And we've seen it every year, whether it was, you know, Elfrid Payton last year, Kyle O'Quinn from Norfolk State, Andrew Nicholson. Every year there's kind of a Clay Anthony Early with Wichita State last year, where the longer you play, the more teams can go, you know what? He really does look like an NBA player, and you'll get a few more workouts, and you'll get a few more teams that want to talk to you a little more because they saw you play in a big game. And, you know, a lot of executives really kind of thrive in the big game moment. You hear this a lot as GMs are talking about players. This guy's a winner. This guy's won everywhere he's been. And there's value in guys to play deep in the tournament, especially when you start talking about some of the more old school type, you know, GMs and executives, and certainly the head coaches. They want to see you play in big moments. They want to see how you handle the pressure. So the more you play and the bigger competition and the more pressure that's on you and you show you can handle it, it really does help, you know, kind of solidify maybe what we already thought. Hey, he's a pretty good player. Now you think maybe he's a really good player because he can handle the moment.
Steve Kuyler, Basketball Insiders. Follow him at Steve Kuyler. Give me a quick 30-second synopsis on the resurgent Utah Jazz as they are just on fire outside of that loss at Golden State the other night down the stretch here.
Boy, they've become such a good team defensively. I think that's really where you look at Utah. But I think the other part of it, too, is, you know, some of the pressure's kind of come off a little bit. You're coming down the stretch. Everybody can kind of see the finish line. Everyone wants to finish well. You're starting to see some of these young guys really get comfortable with each other. And I really think these guys believe and buy into what Quinn Snyder's, you know, really been preaching for them all season, because they're seeing the success now. And I think it's a whole lot easier when you walk into the locker room and you've won a game and you can say, see, when we do that, we win. And when we do that, we win. And they're starting to piece more of those moments together. And you're seeing a lot of fluidity out of the team, a lot of cohesion. And I think the stars on that team are starting to look like stars. It's hard to argue that Derek Favors isn't that guy right now. There were some questions 2 years ago about whether or not he was. Gordon Hayward's that guy. You know, all that money that he got this summer, seems like he's worth it. And you're seeing some guard play. And certainly, you know, with young Rudy Gobert, it's just been amazing to watch what he's become. Because last year, I don't think anybody thought he could ever be this guy.
That's Steve Kuyler, Basketball Insiders. Follow him on Twitter @Steve Kuyler NBA. Steve, thanks for joining us. We'll talk again real soon.
Anytime, fellas.